Well, welcome to the situation report for April 9th, not May 9th. Disregard my fat fingers when it comes to setting up the show. I had to do it manually today, which is, yeah, it's been a day. Let's put it that way. But yeah, I'll adjust the show after the show. Still fighting a cold, so it's been, been a day. So Trump turned off the tariffs today, and everybody freaked out. They freaked out when he turned on the tariffs, and they freaked out when he turned off the tariffs. And, you know, we should be hanging on every word. So I did a situation update earlier this morning because my phone blew up with just random stuff. And I was going to say it this way. I talked about belief systems, I talked about probability versus possibility, and I talked about adjusting your belief system. You know, if any of this stuff that turned, that all these disclosures actually turned out to be true, right? And I talked about how in all those cases, they use your belief system to manipulate you, and it's all about creating fear. And first it was fear that they're going to crash the markets. Then it was fear that they're going to take away Social Security. Then it was fear that they're going to mess with veterans benefits. What we're watching right now is a game of chicken between the US, Europe, and China. And it's a dick waving contest between the banking elites to see who's going to be in control for the next Bretton. And Trump turned off the tariffs, according to a couple of reporters now, and Ed Dowd, he turned it off because Japanese were selling off debt. And if you're watching the bond index, like Tom Luongo has said over and over and over, watch the bond index, and that's going to tell you where the currency's going. And we've seen gold hit all-time highs. Today, it's like $3,098. It's almost $3,100 an ounce. It's going to go higher. So the point is, stay out of the emotional space. Don't get amped up by any of this fear porn, because that's all it is. It's fear porn. Let me ask you a question. What are you going to do about the bond market? What are you going to do about tariffs? What are you going to do about, you know, the price of goods if they go up? They've already gone up. I'm pretty sure that we were all paying like 11 or 12 bucks for a carton of eggs a couple of months ago because of some bullshit bird flu. So don't get wrapped up in the bullshit. Focus on what matters. Here's the signal right now. And it goes the same thing with Cash Patel and Pam Bondi's, right? They haven't arrested anybody yet. But today there was a huge step taken today that is going to lead to a prosecution. And that's Trump stripped Brian Krebs's security clearance and referred him for criminal investigation, which means they have the receipts on him for what he did in 2020. So I said this before, and I have to go back to what I said before, right? Look, I'm just as pissed off as everybody else that nobody's been arrested yet. I'm just as sick of seeing Pam Bondi on Fox News every other day talking about something that none of us care about. But I said back in January, even if Cash Patel comes in today, and then start, and I'm not paying attention to who he's promoting, who he's not promoting. Okay, so he promoted a guy that hates the January 6th crowd. But all this shit can be corrected. And we don't know what cases they're working on other than they're trying to get the violent criminals out of the country. And I need to remind everybody that there's two. Come through Panama and through the Darien Gap for the last 4 years. All those guys have to be dealt with. And if they're going after the really, really hardcore killers that have been imported into the country and they know where they are, that's a good thing. And I'm not telling everybody to calm down. I'm just saying stay out of the emotional space. Because if you get wrapped up in the emotions around that, that's how they manipulate you. That's how they keep you sucked in to the daily noise, right? The signal right now is the currency. The signal right now is what's going on the ground in Ukraine. The signal right now is what's going on with the mRNA vaccines. What's going on with the Taiwan Straits? Is China going across the Taiwan Straits? That's the signal. The rest of it's noise, right? You can pick the signal that you want, right? You can pick which signal you want to go with. But I'm watching Ukraine because Ukraine is the bellwether for whether we get into a wider conflict. And to this morning, I talked about the positioning of forces back into Afghanistan. I'm still noodling on why we would go back into Bagram. I mean, there's two likely there, right? One, the pharmaceutical companies wanted access to cheap opium again. Or two, the Taliban's out of money and they want us back in, they're paying them. Or three, we're positioning for some kind of an attack on Iran because we have forces and aircraft down in the Azores and we have forces in Syria still. So when you look at all of those things, all three of those things could be true at once. But it doesn't mean a hell of a lot right now, and there's no sense getting upset about it because there could be a wider plan here. It could be disrupt communications and the flow of goods between Iran and China. Because the other thing that we have to do that people need to realize is at some point, we're going to have to turn our attention east and deal with China. Right now, we have to kick them out of the U.S. We have to kick them out of Canada. We have to kick them out of Central and South America. And we have to go repatriate resource rights all over this planet, especially strategic resources. They took a page out of our playbook after World War II. After World War II, we were the dominant manufacturing force on the planet. There was no one else. There was no other country that could have pulled off the Marshall Plan to rebuild Europe. There was nobody could have done it. No one could have done the Berlin Airlift. And they took. And they've been doing it for the last 20 years. And at the same time, they've been buying gold. So when you look at the situation, there's imperatives that we're going to have to deal with regardless, right? The first one is get the violent gangs and the violent cartels out of the U.S. and deal with the cartels. And two, at the same time, I would hope that somebody's dealing with the CIA and all of the elements that were using the drug trade, the human trafficking trade, and all the other nefarious activities to fund their black ops. Somebody has to be dealing with that. The first thing you do is you cut off the funding. You cut off funding so they don't have the money to do anything. And then you start going after them and eliminating them, especially the ones out of country. So they can't go hook up with MI6 or with the Russians or with the Chinese. And the Chinese are actively trying to recruit government employees and former government employees now so that they can go and interdict Trump's operations. That's why we have to deal with China here in the U.S. first, as well as deal with the PLA that's here and deal with the cartels first. And that's why it makes sense that DOJ is and DHS are focused on that right now. And then at the same time, you dissuade and offer incentives for people to exfiltrate the country and you get them out of the country and shut down all the sources of funding for all the illegals. So they're doing three or four different lines of operation all at the same time. And if I was a bet man, I would say what they're doing is they're putting position forces in place to interdict the Chinese and the Iranians. Because remember, we've been told that Al-Qaeda and ISIS and all these CIA creations are going to attack us on our soil in an October 7th style attack. And I can't help but think that a good portion of what we're doing right now, at least what Trump's doing, is to dissuade them from conducting attacks here. And it makes sense, because this is what I would do. It makes sense to posture forces, especially nuclear forces, in places where you know the threat's real. And look, we created the Mujahideen. MI6, they created them back in the 80s. They became Al-Qaeda. They became a lot of things, right? They became Al-Qaeda, ISIS. There's like 20 different acronyms, right? But the fact that we were still paying them I can't even remember the country we were paying them through. Anyway, we were paying them through a Middle East country, paying for one of their offices. The point is funding their operations. And for them to come back to us, that's not something I think they would do. I think we reached out to them because we still have assets on the ground in Afghanistan. And I think that we were doing that on purpose to get boots back on the ground there. Because whether you like it or not, Afghanistan is central to the Middle East and to Asia. You can reach both Asia, China, and the Middle East and Iran from Afghanistan. So there's strategic value in being. Does it mean I like it? No. Does it mean I'm going to lose my shit over it? No. It just means that I'm watching the situation to see how it develops and to see what comes out of that. And at the same time all that's going on, you have Hegseth down in Panama saying, we are taking back the Panama Canal. That's a warning to the Chinese that we're taking back the canal. And strategically, that's the right move. Because we need to own Panama. And I mean, in total, coast to coast, top to bottom, we need to own. And we need to put troops back on the ground there. Hell, I'd go work in Panama in a heartbeat. Because that is that's the place that we need to be to secure our strategic communication. So don't get wrapped up in all this emotional nonsense about tariffs and the economy. Look, they're going to crash the economy when they're ready. Because the economy is so completely manipulated, it's just stupid to even worry about it. And it's stupid to have your money in the market. I got out of the market in, I think, 2018, 2017. I'm like, fuck this. I'm going to buy hard assets. This is retarded. Because GameStop showed us that the elite, if they can't just openly manipulate you into giving up your money, they'll take it from you. Legally, they'll take it from you and stop trading. And the Reddit crowd used their own trick against him. And what did they do? Did they let him, reap the benefits of it? No, they stopped trading and they went after him. So why invest in that? That's a fucking waste of money. And I know there's people that are day traders, humma humma. Hey, I made $1,000 yesterday, blah, blah, blah. Look, this is just my opinion. Take it for what it's worth. But I got out of the market 2018 and bought hard assets. Gold, silver. I have stuff I could barter with, stuff I can sell. And the only way I'll go back to the market is if it completely crashes and there is no opportunity for them to manipulate it. I don't ever see that happening. At least not until the system fails completely. So why worry about all the noise, right? And it's designed to jack you up, right? It's called, what's it called? Well, for the lack of better words, emotional hijacking. I'll just put it that way. Once you get in a hijacked state, and if you're married, you know what I'm talking about. It's amazing when you get into a heated argument with a woman. It's amazing what happens when you walk away for 25 minutes and you walk back. You take a timeout, you walk back, you bring your frontal lobe back online, and then you can have a rational conversation, right? And there, I use it all the time, right? Like, I had it out with my boss the other day and I was pissed. And I just said, you know, he goes, what are you, he goes, say something. You're obviously upset. And I go, I'm going to take 24 hours. I'm going to calm down and collect my thoughts. So when I come back to this, I can have a rational conversation with you, because right now I'm not rational. And I said, I don't like anything that just happened and anything that was just said, but I'm not in a place where I can say it in a professional or in a calm way. So I'm going to do that. 24 hours later, I came back and I still wasn't calm, but I was calmer and I was able to make my points and get my point across to where it actually resonated. And it's the same thing when you're jacked up for whatever reason. You got to get the cortisol in your system and you have to calm down and ground so that you can rationally look at what's in front of you and start making decisions. And most of us want to react emotionally. It's a natural tendency. It's what we've been trained to do over the years of watching mainstream media, television. And look, any movie you watch, I don't care what it is, man, they're going to hit the emotional strings as much as they can. Because that's what draws you into the drama. That's what draws you into the storyline. And they do the same thing in the news. They say things in a certain way. They flash things on the screen in a certain way. They have certain second sound bites and video bites. They do that so that it brings you offline and completely hijacks your normal thinking. It's on purpose, and it's on purpose so they could continue to keep you in fear and drive you into doing something else. That's the game plan. That's always the game. And with the sheer volume of propaganda that's out there now, you don't know what's real and what's not real, right? And everybody thought I lost my mind when I was talking about belief systems, but here's the bottom line. If any of our history is untrue, which a lot of it is, then we have to examine the stuff we do know and get to a place where there's a source of truth for the, not just the town square, but for the cultural narrative and the social narrative. Because if we've built our cultural and social narrative on a lie, guess what? We have to reset. And I think those disclosures are coming. I think there's going to be other disclosures. I mean, the Hitler disclosure, that's an interesting one, right? Because the question you got to ask is why? Why now? Why would they release that now? And I wonder how many people actually believe it. I wonder how many people don't believe it. Because it begs the question, if the truth is staring you in the face, you're going to be able to see it. And it's important that we do see it, because then we got to start asking the second and third order questions, right? And that's exactly where we are right now. Right? It's like the pyramid stuff. All I see now is a bunch of nonsense about the pyramids. Look, you want me to buy into the fact that there's these massive mega structures underneath the pyramids? Go dig some fucking holes and show me the shit's there. I don't want to hear some guy put, you know, he threw synthetic aperture radar into the sky and then a miracle occurred and it was able to look down 2 kilometers underground with the right algorithm that was given to him by, you know, the gods in the clouds. Go dig some holes. If they're there, go dig down underneath the pyramid. I mean, you don't have to dig a big tunnel to get down there to figure out if the damn things exist. And then once they exist, go to the bottom of them, explore them. What's in there? What do they do? What's at the bottom of that? I mean, I'm not going to be the first guy to walk down 2 miles of a staircase to the creepy basement that's been dark for a couple thousand years. It's not going to be me going down there. But I'm sure there's some archaeologist that can't wait to go down there with a flashlight, a pencil, and a brush and go figure out which creepy shit's down there now. But the point is, if any of that's real, it's going to change the way we view history. And it can't be a coincidence that it's being released now. But again, everything around it is emotional. It has nothing to do with the actual measure. It's all the, oh my God. And you saw people's reaction, right? Go back to people's reaction when you walked into a store without a fucking mask on during the COVID bullshit, right? People lost their collective fucking minds because you weren't wearing a mask. Never mind that we were tripping over each other for 3 months prior to that, coughing all over each other, touching everything, when they told us that if you touch stuff, the virus can live on this for 2 to 3 days. Don't touch anything. And then the lines in the aisles, the one-way aisles, then the marks on the floor. Yeah, 2 months after we were like tripping all over each other. My God, just stupid. But shows you the level of fear that people live under all the time to buy into that and get that emotionally invested in that line of horseshit. Like, I'll never forget when Trump said 2 weeks to 2 weeks to stop the spread, right? That whole line of shit. And it was funny because the day after he did it, I had literally all my friends over at my house. We were drinking, playing games, and talking shit about it, right? Because none of us were sick. And I remember sitting at the table, and my buddy looked over and he goes, you don't buy any of this shit, do you? I go, no, this is all bullshit. Viruses don't just show up overnight, and you don't have to take a test to figure out if you're fucking sick or not. You're sick, or you're not sick. And if you're sick, and other people get sick quickly, it means you have something that's airborne, that's highly contagious. That's a virus. That would be a pandemic. This is horseshit. And whoever's feeding Trump this horseshit is lying their asses off. And then the video came out about Fauci talking about masks. Masks don't work. And then what did all the blue states do? Oh, we got to go into masks. We got to mask up. Right? And I love the bullshit around that too, right? Like, they had to build outdoor in Washington. They literally built outdoor restaurants because the virus only lived inside where people were sitting close together. Never mind that you were close together in tables outside with masks on. My God, the stupidity. And people lost their collective minds. Like, pulling their mask down, taking a bite of food, putting their mask on. What the fuck is the point of going out? You sit there, look at each other with a mask on, pulling your mask. That's the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life, but people were doing it. And it's because they were emotionally invested in the narrative. They had bought it hook, line, and sinker. And then came the vaccines. You can't come to my house unless you're vaccinated. Well, you can suck the farts out of my ass because I'm not getting that shot. And I lost a bunch of friends over it. It was like they were literally looking at me stunned. I'm like, I'm not taking something. I said, look, the anthrax vaccine fucked up my body. I am not about to go take another one that was rolled out in the back of somebody's fucking cargo van in the middle of North Carolina or Nebraska from some, you know, opium den. Fuck that. There's no way I'm doing that. And some of my friends were actually in the biotech industry and talking about how vaccines are made. And I'm like, did you hear yourself? Did you hear what you just said to me? It takes 7 years to create a vaccine. How is it that they can roll this vaccine out and with this new mRNA technology and all of a sudden the safest thing in the world? And you're going to bypass everything you just said, everything you know as a scientist, and go get your whole family shot. And you know what? Every single fucking one of them has heart problems now. I'm the only one in the whole group that's not sick. Well, I mean, doesn't have a vaccine injury. And it's because I didn't get invested in the narrative. I didn't emotionally invest in it. I looked at it as a business transaction. And I looked at it in the sense that, look, if they mandate me to get this shot, I'll leave my job. If the government mandates me to get this shot, I will leave the country if I have to. And I was ready to pick up arms. That's where I was at with Biden. He started saying, well, you're going to have to, if you're going to go in or out of the country, you're going to have to get a COVID shot. If you do X, Y, or Z, you're going to have to get a COVID shot. No, I got an AR. That's going to be your COVID shot. Thank you. And it's because part of it is, I saw this narrative and wrote a lot of this nonsense back in 04 to 05 in Iraq. I saw this bullshit before. I've seen it over and over. It's the same script they play over and over again, right? And it's why I was so critical of the whole Q thing, right? Because trust the science is the same as trust Barr. Trust Sessions. It's the same shit. It's exact same shit, just played a different way. And now they have Blue and on. So they just reversed the script. And now they're playing the same stupid script on all the liberals. There's no new material here. And once you realize that, you stop getting emotionally invested in all of it. And the fear doesn't work anymore. The fear is like, yeah, whatever, dude. Until I'm coughing up blood, shitting my brains out, you know, sorry, not going to happen. I'm not going to worry about it. And that's why they couldn't get traction after COVID, because they burned their political capital and their street cred to get the whole COVID thing. And they were going through the variants, right? And you saw how many people bought into the whole Omicron variant. And after Omicron blew up, then they kept trying to resuscitate and they couldn't do it. And it's because people finally realized they were getting scammed. Now a good percentage of the population knows they've been scammed, right? But you have the cognitive dissonance for people on the extreme left that have bought into the narrative and are so emotionally attached to it, they can't let go of it. They can't deal with their bias or their belief system far enough to say, maybe I'm too biased about this. And it's a common problem across all the extremes, right or left. And if you pay attention to the messaging, you can see all the messaging that they're throwing at us all the time. Just like you can see the AI and the bots and all the social media feeds. They have certain narratives that they want to play all the time for people to pay attention to. And we as a population, the way we break that spell is we stop paying attention to it. You know, back in the 80s and 90s, you know what we did to a group of people that we didn't want to get any social or any cultural power? We ignored them. We marginalized them. And then we just forgot about them. And eventually they went away. Same thing applies here. Before the election, we were highly effective at using social media to go around the mainstream and debunk all of their propaganda and lies. And then all of a sudden after the election, everybody stopped paying attention and started tuning in to the emotional narrative again. It's like everybody lobotomized themselves once Trump won. The same propaganda is there. The left's still doing the same shit. The right's still doing the same shit. The narratives are all still the same. The only difference is people are checked back into the cultural narrative, and they're in the emotional space, and they're spending all their time worrying about what the next big fucking topic of the day is. Completely lost all the signal, right? And here's a case in point. Here's a question for all of you. How many of you have actually refreshed your water supply in the last 6 months since Trump took over? How many of you have actually gone through your gear a few more times? I'll bet you a lot of them have. A lot of you haven't. So you can't forget the basics. You can't forget the things that we've been talking about, right? The situation really hasn't changed. The only change is the guy, the renter in the White House. That's the only change, right? Congress is still completely ineffective. The legislative branch is still corrupt. And the new executive branch hasn't done anything yet. I mean, really, they haven't done anything. They've highlighted a lot of crimes, but nobody's been arrested for those crimes. So the same thing applies. We should still be on our game. We should still be focused on being prepared for any contingency, because obviously there's contingency on the horizon. Otherwise, there wouldn't be this much noise. And maybe two things are true at once. Maybe they're planning for a contingency, but they don't know what it is. And maybe they're reacting to intelligence that we don't know what it is. But either way, we shouldn't let down our laurels when it comes to that, just because the situation has changed from a narrative perspective and from an emotional perspective. And that's the space I'm trying to move you to, and move you away from, oh my God, he's doing tariffs. So he's turned off the tariffs. It's, who cares, right? Can't do anything about any of that. But you can do something about everything in your sphere of influence and your line of sight. And that's where your focus should be. Shouldn't be focused on all the noise and all the theater and all the drama and all the horseshit, because it's just that. It's theater, drama, and horseshit. There's nothing intrinsic about it that's going to add to your life. There's nothing other than distraction away from your family, your friends, and your work life. And I tuned it out all day. Literally tuned it out all day. And I picked up my phone, and within 2 seconds, I figured out before I got on the show exactly what was going on. So don't get wrapped up in the emotional space of this. Don't hang on all these new, the latest and greatest story of the day, because it's all just noise. You know, the question I have is, why is anybody talking about reversing the Smith Modernization Act, right? Republicans control the Congress. They could pass, they could reform it and repeal it today. They could repeal the Patriot Act. They could repeal the SAFE Act. They could repeal the 1986 Vaccine Injury Act. Why aren't they doing that? No, they're holding hearings about JFK, a dude that died in the 60s that I didn't give a shit about then, and I don't give a shit about now. We already know the CIA killed him. We already know LBJ was deeply involved. So explain to me, why do I care about that? The game's exactly the same, folks. There's no difference before or after Biden. It's the same shit it was in Trump session one. So why get charged up about it? The only way something's going to change is we decide that we're going to make a change. And Americans clearly aren't uncomfortable enough to do that. And Trump's created a crisis for himself. The backlash, because nobody's getting arrested, is growing by the day. People want accountability. So when you filter through all that, you get right to the heart of it. And the heart of it is nothing's changed. Nothing's happening. Nothing's changed. It's just more noise. And the system's flooded with noise. So stay out of the emotional space. When you feel like you're getting jacked up, go take a 20-minute timeout. Go walk outside. And I'll tell you, I do it all the time. I get up away from this desk and I walk away, and I may come back in an hour. Nothing's different when I come back. It's still the same slow burn. And I try to remind myself that unless something big happens, basically, unless I hear gunfire, I'm not going to get my blood pressure up. There's no point of it. And it's the same slow burn. When you take out all of the peripherals, it's the same exact slow burn that we've been in for the last 8 years. That's why I say, don't get wrapped up in this stuff. It's just noise. And I think it's interesting that we're posturing in the Middle East right now. We're posturing in Afghanistan, but we're not posturing to go down to Panama. And I'm curious why. Because to me, Panama would be the priority over everything else. But again, they have intel we don't have access to. And the other thing, before I wrap this up, the other thing I want everybody to realize is this concept of the national security state, that's a construct. It's a construct of classification and compartmentalization so they can hide their malfeasance. That's all it is. The existential crisis to this country is maintaining our lines of communication, repatriating industry, rebuilding industry, rebuilding our infrastructure, and throwing out all the illegals and all the foreign nationals. That's the priorities. And I don't hear any of that in Washington. I could see some of it from their actions and the way they're doing the deportations. But I don't pay any attention to the lawfare. I could care less about all of it. It's all just smoke and mirrors. So stay out of the emotional space. The more grounded you are, the more sensible you're going to be, and the more able you're going to be to make decisions at crunch time. And whether that's a storm, whether that's a flood, because it's flooding in Kentucky right now. In fact, the Buffalo Trace distillery was flooded yesterday, which bumps me out because I love Buffalo Trace. So that's what you should be preparing for, is that, is contingencies like that, natural disaster, weather, etc. This day-to-day political stuff, it's never going to bear fruit. There's never going to be action out of it. I don't see anything happening for months and months. So just move on. And the last thing I'll say is that this tariff thing is going to drive the price of everything up, ammo, food, everything. And Joe Dolio made a very, very good point today, and so did Brushbeater, because they're selling a lot of night vision optics and thermals. Now's the time to do it. If you're going to buy ammo, buy it now, right? I think I have probably 3,000 rounds of 1,500 rounds, 1,000 or 1,500 rounds of 5.56, and probably 1,000 rounds of 308. And I probably got some, I got 45 and 42. So if you're interested in ammo and you want it from me, just hit me at sales@republicarmament.com and I'll send you a price list. And I'm not going to like mark it up to extreme. I'll just cover the cost of shipping and our normal markup. And somebody asked me about t-shirts. The t-shirts are they're in the description of every show. You can get there at spreadshirt.com. After May, when I launch the new channel, you're going to be able to, we'll be carrying stock by the end of June. I'll have stock on hand and I'll have that up on the website, and we'll do a refresh of the website. And so there's a storefront there. So we'll be shipping shipping product. The other thing that I'm working with a couple of vendors to try and get some tactical gear, some plates, and a few other things for the store. Next week, I should have the firearms I have available in stock and prices up on the website. So if you want to order for me, you can do that. And then once we launch the new channel, this channel will be open for about 6 months, but we're going to move everything to the Path Forward. I've talked to a few people about doing shows, just been busy, and I've been, to be all transparency, I've been looking for a place to do the show, to do the shop, et cetera. And it's taken a lot longer than I thought. So new channel's on Rumble. It's called The Path Forward. I'll post the link as we get closer to May. I'll post the link in the show notes so you could go hit it. The official launch will be around the 7th or the 9th of May. And I'll announce that before we do the shift over. Next couple of weeks, be working on the studio here until we find a space, and then we'll build a studio out and away we go. The plan is to do more. Everything will be on camera after makes. I'm sorting all that out too. And by the way, thanks, John, for the suggestion on the mic. Appreciate the offer to do the donation. I appreciate it. But upgraded the mic, upgrading my mic and some of my equipment so I don't have this issue anymore. And I'm building a dedicated machine for just the show. So there's only one purpose for that studio setup. So stay tuned for that. And that's really what I've been heavily working on, you know, aside from being sick as hell for last week, doing that and getting that off the ground. And look, this channel will be monetized because my intent is to move off of what I'm doing and do the show full time and do have multiple shows that we do and do face-to-face interviews, have people come in the studio and actually do face-to-face interviews and hire staff to actually manage and get guests here, all that stuff. So I want to turn this into a real production versus this hour-long or 30-minute rant. So stay tuned. That's coming. If you like what we're doing, hit the follow button. That helps us get visibility in Rumble's algorithms. And last but not least, lose the fear, folks. Nothing to be scared of. We're all here for a reason. And we're all here at this time for a reason. I'll be back on Friday with a half an hour show. Until then, God bless everyone. One team, one fight.